John chapter 20, verse 3. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. He stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie. Before I read the next two verses, I want to point one thing out. If you're the other disciple, and you outrun the Peters of your life, it doesn't matter if you're afraid to go into the tomb. Doesn't matter the race. What matters is what we finish. The other disciple beat Peter there, but he wouldn't go in. Peter was the only one that would go in. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher. And he saw and believed. I don't want to take advantage of your time, but I would like to preach to you on the topic, no more grave clothes. Somebody's going to pray for us. Go ahead.
Lord, we thank you for what we feel here in this house, Lord. I ask that your spirit continue to flow, Lord. God, that as pastor brings forth the word you've laid on his heart, Lord, that he can speak it with boldness and excellence, Lord. God, that you can open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, to hear you and see you today, Lord. God, that we can just be impacted more than we could ever imagine, Lord. That we walk out of these doors, not the same, but in difference, Lord God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I made it my mission to try, to the very best of my ability, to make this whole Christianity thing more about going to church, which is what I fear it has become. And I'm not speaking necessarily to this church, but to the greater church collectively across our world. And holidays are difficult. They're difficult for me because I'm not a traditional person, if you haven't figured it out. And so I have to work hard in order to try and find a traditional message to preach on a holiday. Well, a few months back, the Lord laid this on my heart. I have never heard it before, so if you've heard it, just pretend like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I don't want to make this Resurrection Sunday about the resurrection. I want to make it about more than the resurrection. And so, I want to point a couple things out to you about these grave clothes. When Peter came in, and then the other disciple, how would you like to go down in history as the other disciple without a name? When he came in, he found the grave clothes folded, wrapped together, and then the napkin folded separately. The napkin was placed upon the face. In Jewish tradition, when they would sit at a table and they would have dinner, the servant would gauge his master based off of the napkin. If he was done, he would get up, he would wipe his face, he would crumple it up, and he would toss it on the table. That told the servant that he was done and he could clean the table. If the master were to get up and fold the napkin and leave it on the table folded, the servant was of the understanding that the master would be returning. So it is important to point out the reason why Jesus folded the napkin and left it there separate from the grave clothes. It was a message that he was and is returning. Whether that be at that moment, and whether that be because he was telling them, I have risen, or whether it was a reminder that even though I am leaving, I will be coming back again. I'm not done yet. But the grave clothes, imagine if you would for a couple moments what it was like when they wrapped Jesus' body and buried him. No doubt they cleaned him to the very best of their ability. Open wounds and sores all over his body. There was a symbolism which was a bruised and broken body that had been rejected and hated, lied in this tomb. But when Jesus got up, he removed his own grave clothes, it would appear, and he took his own napkin and he folded it and he left the tomb. Another story prior to Jesus' death brings us to John chapter 11, verse 38. It says in verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. I can relate to that comment. I hear it all the time. When I tell people the Lord is able, and they say, yeah, I know he's able. Well, your response didn't sound like you know he's able. Our actions don't seem like we know he's able sometimes. We say we know he's able, but we really don't believe that he's able. And she said, he's been dead 4 days already. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So, Jesus publicly and openly prayed and made sure that those that stood by him heard, because he wanted them to believe when what he was about to do was done. Some people will never be convinced until they see something miraculous. That's not good. It's okay, but it's not good. We are supposed to be people of God that live by faith, not by sight. No matter how bad it may look, no matter how the response may appear, if we live by faith, we know that God has not forgotten us. We understand that even though he might not be answering our prayers according to our desire, it doesn't mean that we've been abandoned. How do I know that? Because I'm a child of faith. And I know the Lord would never leave me or forsake me. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So we have one account of our Savior who had risen and had newness of life for the sake of my message and your understanding. But yet he did not wear his grave clothes out of his tomb. We have another account of a man who had received newness of life, yet he came out of his tomb still bound by his grave clothes. And Jesus had to instruct those around him to remove those grave clothes from him. Is he ready? He can come out whenever he's ready. He's going to need a chair. So, his death was an example to us that we too can receive newness of life. That we were never destined to be confined by the miseries of our life. And through spiritual death, we are granted pardon from past failures and sins. Now, let's talk if we can for a moment, and I'll try my very best to entertain you and keep your attention. A little sarcasm there. Let's talk about the burial for one moment. There's a lot of opinions about water baptism. I'll give you the real one. And the real one is water baptism was never ever intended to be some outward display of your Christianity. There is no Bible for that. You cannot find one scripture that says we're baptized so people know that we believe in Jesus. Water baptism is absolutely essential to your born again process. Now, let me just say, if for any reason you choose to believe otherwise, that's all right. I mean, it's not all right in the end, but that's your choice. But I would never leave this life and say, God, I just didn't think it was necessary when I've got a baptismal tank 25 foot in front of me. You could dunk me in a well and bring me out. I don't care. I'm all about what's the book say. So here's your scriptures. And I'm reading this for a reason. Romans 6 and 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You see, you cannot identify with the death of Jesus Christ without water baptism. Now, I only read to you the Word of God. You might need some time to change the understanding and make it fit a narrative, but the Bible is plain. If we have been baptized into Jesus, how many of you know the legal definition of baptism? It means to be fully wet or immersed. You cannot sprinkle and baptize. That is not baptism. You've got to go down in that water and you've got to come back out. Some have tried to, and I don't want to go here, but I feel like I should just for a moment. Some have tried to tell me, well, that's a works doctrine. That's an obedience issue. It's not a works issue. Baptism is not a works. If you want to make something a works, we can just call it basic sinner's prayer a works. Can I get an amen? I know it's Easter, but let me preach to you for a moment. But Paul said, do you not know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so when you're baptized, you go down. You're buried. As I told the church this morning, thank the Lord he doesn't keep us there 3 days. And we come up, now we have identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's how we identify. You don't identify with his death by praying a prayer. You identify with his death through action. He goes on to say, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Let me read that one more time and slower. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. If you have been planted together in the likeness of his death, then you will be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You can't be resurrected if you don't die. You've got to die first before you can be resurrected. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In Colossians 2 and 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. What does that mean? That means when I go down in that watery grave, I trust God and I believe when I come out that he has done all that he said he would do in that death, burial, and resurrection process. Buried with him in baptism. So, let me give you something to chew on for the rest of your day, even after you have Easter dinner. It's in John chapter 11, verse 25. It says, Jesus said unto her, now watch this, I am the resurrection. And then he left. I'm going to help you for a minute. I am the resurrection and the life. That's two things. I'm the resurrection and I am also the life. Now listen to me, I'm going to help you today. Lazarus partook in the resurrection. But as long as he was bound by his grave clothes, he was not partaking in the life. He was living, he was breathing, but he was still bound. He had received life, but he was still bound. He was not free yet. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. There's a lot of generic misunderstandings about what it means to have the liberty of God or the liberty of the Holy Ghost or walk in this newness of life, if you please. I'm trying to give you a solid foundation. I am the resurrection and the life, because they are two separate functionalities. And he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So, can someone get him a chair and have him sit over here? So, these grave clothes, there's something that you're buried with that's a part of the old life. The grave clothes are supposed to be the last change of outfit you'll ever put on. But they also are associated with, again, the previous life. In Jesus' case, there's no doubt in my mind that the grave clothes weren't very clean when he took them off. Whatever condition his body was in when he was buried, and I'm going to give you my understanding, which is the right one. Someone said to me recently, well, I believe that Jesus had all the scars all over his body still. I reject that. You cannot be glorified or receive a glorified body and still have all the suffering from your past life. He had scars in his hands and in his side that were left intentionally for people like Thomas. His body was not in a beaten state or in a grotesque state when he rose out of that grave. He was still in the glorification process and told Mary, you can't touch me yet. Because his body was still, if you please, it was still being put back together in some way. And so the grave clothes, no doubt, didn't look very pretty. When Lazarus came out of his tomb, even after having received life, let me just pause and tell you, you have a hard time convincing this preacher that you cannot be born again and still struggle with some of your old things. Well, I don't understand that, Pastor. Well, look around you. You got people in the church still smoke. People in the church still drink. You got people in the church still have fear. People in the church still have addictions. That's not a criticism. I'm trying to explain to you that's your grave clothes. I'm trying to explain to you, you can receive that newness of life still and still be wrapped up a little bit and you've not been completely set free. That's where people struggle in church, because they want to worship God, but they can't lift their hands. You know why? Because they're still wrapped up with their grave clothes. There are people that want to see the Word of God when you preach it, but they can't because their face is still covered by the napkin that was placed on them in their death process. And so we've got people in our churches, we have taught them that it's okay to be that way. We've taught them that it's okay to suffer. And we've taught them it's okay to trust big government to fix you and to give you something to make you sleep at night. I preach on this often, and I'm going to say it again today on this Resurrection Sunday. It is not the will of God that a child of God has to take anxiety pills. It's not the will of God that a child of God has to take sleeping pills. Come on, somebody. I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to help you. It's the will of God that whom the Son has set free. He is free, 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 free indeed. You cannot tell me scripturally I'm wrong. You can't. You might want to justify it because you feel bad about it. You don't have to feel bad about it. You just got to get off that stubbornness and you got to say, the man's got a point. The man has got a point. Why does this matter? Because we have allowed the world at large to give us answers and solutions that are not answers and solutions. We have allowed the government and we've allowed their answers to become our answers. and we're walking around wrapped up, bound up, and we're not free the way He intended us to be free. And I'm here to tell you, that's not God's plan for the church in 2023. Lazarus didn't get far outside of that grave, and Jesus said, unwrap that man. I'm not going to let him walk around in this life bound by those grave clothes. We trust too much in man's answers. Let me say it again. We trust too much in man's answers. Listen, I'm only 50 years old, but I'm telling you, when I was a kid, you didn't have all the junk that you've got today. All the different disorders and all the different diseases, and now everything's a disease. The way you think is a disease. Why? I'm not being funny. Why is that? Because the more things they can call diseases, the more pills they can sell you. The more things they can call a disorder, the more money they can make. I'm not preaching politically here. I'm trying to tell you somebody's benefiting from your suffering, from your grave clothes. And you need to know today that Jesus Christ did not die so you can be bound by Xanax or bound by somebody else's prescription. I feel them pushing back at me. You don't have to feel bad about that. I'm not trying to preach you to make you feel bad. I'm trying to tell you reality. I'm trying to tell you it's not acceptable in this life. We have got a God that is bigger than every single thing you can even ever come across. Hey, we can't just clap our hands and say amen and go home and take another one. But we've got to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Unwrap me and set me free. I want to experience the fullness of life in Jesus. I told the church today, I just want people to be free. Sue me. Call me a creep. Call me a dirtbag. Call me a heathen. Call me a cult. They've done that. Call me whatever you want. I guess if that's what it is, that's what it is. But as for me and my house, we're going to trust the Lord. I know that's not what He said. I know. That's our house. We're going to trust. Now, I'm not preaching against modern medicine. I told you, I'm going to the doctor's end of the month. I just had an appointment with the anesthesiologist to make sure I can handle it so they can take my gallbladder out. I'm not against that. But I'll tell you one thing. Years ago, I had all these heart murmurs. And it got crazy at times, man. My heart would just flutter and flutter for an hour or two. I went to the doctor. He said, well, I'm going to give you some beta blockers. I said, well, what's that do? Well, it slows your heart down. I said, well, that sounds like it's going to make me tire. Now, I got my handy 10th grade education with my GED. And so I'm smart enough to know that sounds like it's going to make me tired. Well, yeah, it's going to make you tired. No, thank you. Don't want it. What are you going to do? I'm going to trust God. You can call me whatever you call me. That's probably about 8 years ago. I ain't taking one of those things. I threw the prescription in the garbage. And I've been good since. And guess what? I ain't had no heart flutters in a long time. Why? I'd rather trust the Lord. I was on blood pressure pills. I didn't plan on preaching this, but I'm just going to go for a minute. You're here, so you're trapped. If you leave, we're going to know you were mad. And so I was on blood pressure pills. My poor wife, she just cringes every time I talk. I grab the microphone. She's like, Jesus, help me now, Lord. She starts. So the doctor said my blood pressure was sky high, and it probably was. I'm a pastor. I can assure you it's sky high. But you know what? And I'm jumping forward for a minute. Am I okay for a couple minutes? Just jumping forward for a minute. I realized about 2 years later, you know, and Sister Ruth is the one that helped me with this. She told me one day we were in the hospital visiting Elder Ruth, and she said, you know, some people's normal is a little high, but that's their norm. I thought, well, I'll be. I never thought about that. That's probably true. And so I took those pills for a couple of years and I ran out. Well, I called the doctor and he said, you got to come back in. You got to have an appointment and all that stuff. My God, just call me in a prescription, man. What do I got to go in there for? Exactly. So I went a week or two without So I thought, you know what? I was praying one day and I said, this might be a good time to try and get off these things. I don't want to be on pills the rest of my life. I don't want it. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to be foolish. And the Lord spoke to me and said, faith is never foolish. So here's what I did. I started looking with my eyes. Now, I'm very careful when I say this stuff, because I'm not telling you if you're on 15 different medications, go ahead and drop them all. God, don't put that on me. No, sir. If you're on 15, you go talk to Jesus about it. I don't want you dropping over and then blaming me. But what I decided to do, so I started checking my blood pressure every day. For a week, week and a half, it was great. I thought it was awesome. Well, then I noticed it started going back up. And it was a little higher. I thought, man, God, I'm feeling a little discouraged here. You know, you told me I wasn't being foolish by trying to trust you. And I don't remember. The Lord said something else to me. Oh, I know what it was. God, the Lord said, well, stop looking at it. I thought, well, that's a plan. So I quit. I quit checking my blood pressure. Now, I know you think I'm crazy. You know why? Because faith is crazy. Faith is truly crazy. It really is. And so I quit. And about 2 months later, I had a doctor's appointment. And I thought, okay, well, you know, God can't blame me. The doctor's going to take it anyway. It's not my fault. And the doctor took it. My blood pressure was great. I ain't been on him since. Do I think my blood pressure's been up a couple times? Oh, yes. But I realized that doctor probably caught me at a really stressed out time in my life. And he and the pharmaceutical company's about ready to profit for the rest of my life off that. What am I saying to you? I am telling you that there are Christians that love Jesus Christ all over this world that are still bound by grave clothes. They're still wrapped up. They can't see clearly. They can't think clearly. They can't feel clearly. And that's not God. God wants His church to be free. 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 Talk to some of your elders. They weren't like this generation. Our people's children, they sneeze and they're running to the emergency room. You see, it gets really tight, Sister Kelly, when you start hitting home runs. This ain't baseball. You hit a home run in baseball, they're coming out of their chairs. You hit a home run in church, and you're like, oh my God, oh my God. You got some over there, what's he doing? He gonna run everybody off. If my wanting you to be free is running you off, then I guess I'm guilty. I have done this long enough now. Can I talk to you for a second? That I'm tired of seeing people come to church like this. This young man right here, when he started coming, how long has it been? 9 years. When he started coming, he spent years with depression. After God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Years struggling. You see, there's a difference in people that will talk about it and those that won't talk about it. See, the world tells you just be strong. Don't show anybody your weaknesses. I had a precious young girl today, 13 years old. After service, I walked up to her and she walks up and she hugs me. She starts bawling and sobbing. And she said, I just want a dad. Her dad had passed away. And I said, well, that's okay. And I hugged her and I told her about my story, never knowing my real dad. And I said, but when you're here, I said, cry. It's okay. Well, my friends tell me crying, it means I'm weak. I said, no, no, no. I felt like Emperor Palpatine. No, no, no. If you watch Star Wars, you know what I'm talking about. Being real about who you are is not being weak. Jesus can't do anything for you until you be real with Him. He can't help you until you be real with Him. Don't be afraid to be real. That's what repentance is. Lord, I am a liar. Lord, I am a thief. Lord, I am a pedophile. Lord, I committed murder. Lord, I'm a drug dealer. That's what being real with Jesus is. That's why every sin can be forgiven except blasphemy, a mockery of the Holy Ghost. Because there's nothing that you've done that's too far that He can't reach you. But He needs you to be real with Him. And you've got to know that you need Him. And you've got to say, I need you. I need you. That's not being weak. That's being wise. Understanding that without Him, I'm nothing. Listen, I got to move on. But see, we live in a world that has taught themselves to fill all those voids other ways. No matter what it is. Had an elderly gentleman told me years ago, he said, we never went to the hospital for nothing. Nothing. He said, we toughed it out. We sweated out. He said, you have to be near death before you let a doctor near you. I'm not picking on people, but I'm just telling you, we have learned to trust this world more than we've learned to trust Jesus. And it has made us prisoners and slaves. We are no different than Lazarus. Had he come out of that tomb and he remained wrapped up in his grave clothes. But Jesus, in his mercy, was not about to let him walk out into the real world like that. I am the resurrection. Lazarus, come forth. And the life. Unwrap him and set him free. So, grave clothes, they hinder our ability to be free. You can't, you want to raise your hands, but it's really hard. You're restricted. You want to see, but you can't. You can't see because you got that old stinky napkin over your face. Stand up. Do like I told you today. Go worship a little bit. So he wants to worship. But it's really hard to worship. It's hard to worship. Why? You can tell Troy's as white as white. I've, was Kristen here? Kristen, come up here. Honey, you want to get ready to play for me? Because if I keep preaching, they might start leaving. They won't care. When Kristen and her mom started coming to church, her hair was pitch black. Were your fingernails black? But you dressed like a goth. You were close to it. Just everything black. And I'd watch her when people worshiped. Whole service. She would just stand there like that. And I remember probably after about a year of them coming, I watch people. That's what I do. That's why you can't get away with anything. I remember looking back during worship and here's Kristen like this. God was loosening the grave clothes. And now I'll look at her in service and she's like, why? Because he set her free! And she understood what it meant to be free! Free. Who else can I pick on? No, I talk about Chantel too much. I'm just trying to scour here and look at some faces. No one else is really popping out at me right now, so I'll move on. People, they want to worship God. Had somebody once said this about Chantel. Said to me, I want to worship the way she worships. I want to have what she has. Going to church half her life. That's not the will of God. What good is it celebrating Resurrection Sunday if we can't have life and life more abundantly? What good is it to call myself a child of God if I can't find myself in some tribulation in my life like Paul and Silas? And here I am, hanging up in my prison cell. This is why I don't go to church. Because I'm always finding myself, where's the Lord? I pray and ask God to set me free. No, they didn't do that. You know why Paul and Silas didn't do that? Because even though they were bound by chains, they weren't bound by grave clothes. Hey, I've been thinking about that song. Look what the Lord has done. Paul starts singing, Silas picks up. Look what the Lord, you go, has done. He healed my body. I can't sing, I know. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. You can hear the chains jingling. And all the other prisoners, they done gave up, man. They've given up all hope. I'm going to die in prison. I'm going to rot away here. Not Paul and Silas. You know what happened? See, what happens when somebody no longer is bound by grave clothes? They can give life to somebody else. And so before you know it, they had a choir going on. The choir was singing so loudly that heaven was so moved that angels began to come down and shake the prison cells and the chains began to fall. And now they can lift their hands and now they can dance and now they can shout because they no longer were bound. Hey, I'm here to tell you today that the Lord does not want you wearing your grave clothes anymore. But He wants to set the church free. But you've got to want it. You've got to want to be free. Well, I've heard people say this. I wanted to lift my hands, but people look at me like I'm weird. Tough luck. I don't care what you look at. Listen, I already learned my friendship list. If I only had two fingers, I could still count them all on one hand. I know you like me, and So I'm not here for a popularity contest. I'm here to preach to you what I believe. Sister Gwen, wasn't that you told me that you're not on any pills whatsoever? How old are you? Can we tell that? Well, what's your number? You wouldn't know it? And I don't know, but I know that you've learned to trust God in everything. Why? Because she does not have any grave clothes on. Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord wants to do to His church. Set the church free. Stand with me if you would. Now that doesn't mean if somebody's on pills that you don't have the faith she does. That's not what I'm saying. I've seen people in the church for years dealing with fear, pain, anger, addiction. And I believe with all of my heart, and I wish people believed it with me, that the Lord is trying to teach His church, let me set you free from your grave clothes. Let me loose you like they loose Lazarus. But you've got to understand that you can be a born again child of God and still have some grave clothes on. And you've got to be okay with that. And you've got to know that for years, the Lord will spend years unraveling His grave clothes. The Lord will spend years, He spent years unraveling my grave clothes. And I'm okay because God will not move any faster than you will. But He'll unravel you and you go from here to here, to here, and before you know it, you're dancing like David did with all of your might. Because I learned what it's like to be free and free indeed. I like what I feel. I appreciate the liberty that God has given me. Our world is too ugly. Our world is too depressing. It'll just take you a couple minutes to hop online and you're depressed, you're discouraged, you're in fear, you're thinking like the world's coming apart and the apocalypse is coming. I don't care about the apocalypse coming because I know that Jesus is coming and I know that He's coming for a church that's ready, a church that's in love with Him and a church that has been set free. Now, the Bible says, now listen, if your Bible says something different, bring it up here to make sure I'm not misled. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. I don't want any wrinkles in my grave clothes when he comes. I'm just going to take them off. I don't want any spots in my grave clothes from the old life. I'm just going to rid myself from them. And if we'll learn to let the Lord Jesus do what he wants to do in our lives, if we'll stop tying his hands and we'll let him go, I promise you that God will show himself in a way that we've only read about and heard about in other lands and other nations and other countries. Lift your hands if you would. And let's talk to the Lord right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to do me a favor. And I want you to pray and say, Lord, if I've got any grave clothes, I want you to loose them from me today. I want to believe it. I want to receive it. I don't want to be bound by the things of the old life. I don't need them. Hallelujah. I don't want them. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just want to enjoy the peace of God that passes all of my understanding. Give him praise right now. Hallelujah. Worship. If you need prayer for anything at all, come on up here. We'll pray with you. You don't have to, but if you need it, we'll pray with you. Trust the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him.
Where we proclaim your name, this is the house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final care. We sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is the house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is the house of miracles. Yes, this is the house of miracles. Resurrection power. Your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs over. Even the cold is free. We sing, come alive. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles.
Jesus, come alive in the name of Jesus.
And I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working. All things are done. I fix my eyes on Him. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working. All things are done. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working. All things are done. I fix my eyes on Him. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working. All things are done. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working. All things are good. I fix my eyes on Him. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working. All things are good. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive. In the name of Jesus, send the house of miracle. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, send the house of miracle. Yes, we sing, come on, come alive. In the name of Jesus, come alive. Name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. We sing, come alive, in the name of Jesus, come alive, in the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. Oh, we bring everything to the feet of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything
in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracle. Yes, we sing. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracle. We bring to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Oh, yes, we sing. In the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything in the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a miracle.
Let's just pray one last time all together. Jesus, we come before you thanking you, Lord, for the word that we've gotten today. I pray that we leave this place, God, and that you would change our clothes. If we carry those grave clothes, if we haven't gotten rid of them today, Lord, in this service, I pray when we're at home, God, that we begin to search, Lord, what we're still hanging on to. And that you would begin to set us free, Lord. Change our clothes. Change our mindsets. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every person that's here today. And that they'd have a great rest of their day, Lord. And that today that they would remind themselves of the things that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.